Just how much European stress can American banks handle?
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles. Good morning. I'm Jeremy Hobson. The Federal Reserve says it will launch a new round of stress tests on the biggest U.S. banks, the ones that remain too big to fail. This time, the stress tests will focus on how the banks would fare if there's a global market shock, like maybe from, say, Europe. For more, we turn to Cornelius Hurley. He's director of the Center on Financial Law and Policy at Boston University, and he joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, Jeremy.
What does it say to you that the Fed is saying we need to go in and have new stress tests here, even though most people have been saying for a while that the U.S. banks would be able to withstand a financial crisis in Europe?
Stress testing is something that regulators should be doing on an ongoing basis anyway. One would hope that the Fed, in combination with other primary regulators, has a daily read on the pulse of the financial services industry. And I would suspect that the Fed is highly confident that the results of these stress tests will be positive.
Do you think things are getting better or worse in the banking system in this country right now?
That's an excellent question. If you look at the FDIC statistics from yesterday, bank profits for the last quarter at $35 billion have returned to pre-crisis levels. However, most of that profit comes from banks no longer squirreling away money for reserves. The problem is that banks just are not lending at the volume that they should be lending to promote a recovery. So from an earnings and capital standpoint, the banking system seems to be improving. But from a role in the economy and the proper functioning of banks in our economy, I cannot have the same optimistic analysis.
Cornelius Hurley is the director for finance, law, and policy at Boston University. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeremy.
Well, AAA says 42.5 million Americans will be traveling to their Thanksgiving destinations this year by plane, train, or automobile. And oh, by the way, much of the East Coast and the West Coast are in for some precipitation, which could slow some of us down. But as it turns out, airline travelers are less likely this year to be stranded on the tarmac, as Marketplace's Jennifer Collins reports.
You might have heard this story. A pilot begs to get his passengers to a gate. They've been stranded on the tarmac for more than 7 hours.
I have a paraplegic on board that needs to come off. I have a diabetic on here that's got an issue. It's a list of things. I just got to get some help.
That happened in October at Bradley International Airport in Connecticut. The incident got a lot of media attention, but endless tarmac delays have actually become pretty rare. That's because of steep new penalties for delays over 3 hours. Hunter Kay is an airline analyst with the firm Wolf Trahan. He says airlines have pushed the wait back to the terminal, stranding travelers inside instead.
Tarmac delays are down because airlines are going to just taxi back and cancel the flight, as opposed to facing hundreds of thousands of dollars fines for large planes.
Last week, the Department of Transportation said it slapped American Eagle with a $900,000 fine for 15 delayed flights on a single day in May. Economics professor Jan Bruckner of the University of California, Irvine, says the fines are directed only at airlines, but they may not be the only ones at fault.
It's not just the pilots. There may be some airport institutions that play a role in this as well.
Airports said that they would never be part of the problem, but now we've seen a couple of big events where they have been.
Kate Hanna is the executive director of the consumer group Flyers Rights. The transportation department says there's no agency that oversees airports when it comes to consumer issues like tarmac delays. Hanna is pushing for every U.S. airport to have a plan for when bad weather or mechanical problems leave passengers stranded.
The biggest problem is that there's no communication, collaboration, or cooperation.
She says there's nothing like a fine to get agencies talking. I'm Jennifer Collins for Marketplace.
And let's do the numbers. Stocks are down in global trading this morning, down about 2% in Hong Kong and about 0.8% right now in London. Here in this country, the Mortgage Bankers Association said this morning that more people applied for home loans last week, but purchases are still down 5% from last year. And that is despite the average rate on a 30-year fixed mortgage holding at 4.23%. On Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell another 53 points to close at 11,493.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing retirement solutions that can help to guarantee income for life through its affiliated companies in the U.S. AllianzUSA.com. By Fox Searchlight Pictures, presenting The Descendants, starring George Clooney. From Alexander Payne, director of Sideways and About Schmidt, in theaters in November. And by Thomson Reuters and their expedition to break the Overland speed record to the South Pole. You can follow them in real time at expeditiontothesouthpole.com.
So have you taken a shower yet this morning? Well, if you have and it lasted less than 8 minutes, your shower was shorter than average. That's according to new research from the consumer products company Unilever. The BBC's Matt Davies reports.
The researchers spied on 2,600 showers taken by 100 families, and they found that the average shower uses less water than taking a bath, about 4 gallons less. But people spent more time in the shower than expected, and that means they used more hot water and more energy to heat the water. An 8-minute shower costs a household $648 a year. Paula Owen is an independent environmental advisor.
We recommend that people spend about 4 minutes in a shower. And that if you shower for that period of time, it's much better for the environment, for your heating bills and for your water bills.
Researchers say they were surprised at how long people spent in the shower. That's because early data was collected by simply asking bathers questions, whereas Unilever's new information was collected by putting electronic devices in the shower, and that provided more accurate results, no matter how creepy you think that is. In London, I'm the BBC's Matt Davis for Marketplace.
You know, a lot of people tell me they feel like they shower with me every morning because they listen to Marketplace Morning Report in the shower. I don't know how I feel about that. In Los Angeles, I'm Jeremy Hobson. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. This is APM, American Public Media.
BLT, the banh mi, the mighty Italian meatball sub. Excuse me, but they are way more than just meat between two pieces of bread, you know.
There's one way I like to think about sandwiches, which is as these, like, objects of history. And actually, like, tell these really awesome stories about people and cultures and locations and cuisines.
I'm Kai Rizdal, sandwiches from the inside out. Next time on Marketplace from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.